What if I told you that handing all your daily tasks over to an AI is actually going to make you work significantly harder?
Yeah, it sounds completely backwards, right? I mean, it totally goes against the whole promise of technology.
Exactly. Welcome to the Deep Dive, everyone. Today we are exploring a really fascinating thesis from a recent article titled "The Frame is the Bottleneck."
And this is such a crucial topic for anyone right now. Whether you're building software, managing a team, or just, trying to survive in a world overflowing with AI tools.
Right, because for decades the dream was the hammock. You slide your to-do list across the desk to a machine and you go lie on a beach with a drink.
The perfect clean handoff. It's a deeply comforting fantasy. We just assume there's work the machine does and work I do. So if the machine does more, I do less.
But anyone who has actually sat down with a modern AI agent knows the hammock is just, it's gone. You aren't relaxing at all.
Not even a little bit. You're sweating the details, working longer hours, and trying to figure out why the AI just sprinted in the exact wrong direction.
Hallucinating a massive error with total confidence, you end up feeling way more like a babysitter than a beachgoer.
Which is this massive paradox. We built these highly capable models to do the work, but the cognitive load on the human operator have actually multiplied. Diagnosing AI mistakes is just incredibly murky.
So our mission today is to discover why that handoff isn't the magic bullet we thought it was, and how mastering this concept called framing is the real secret to not drowning.
Let's start by shattering that illusion of the clean handoff, because the reality of human and AI collaboration is much more demanding on human judgment than anyone thought.
Okay, let's unpack this with the opening story from the article because it captures the dynamic perfectly. The author is working on a complex software code base, right?
Yeah, they trigger Claude Code, an advanced AI model, to handle a major refactor.
And the AI hands back what looks like flawless execution.
Yeah.
The diff, which is just developer talk for the before and after snapshot, was totally clean.
Right, all the automated safety tests passed. The plan was tight.
The author reads through the AI's work twice, sees that it functions perfectly, and then they just completely delete it, toss it in the trash.
Oh, to a layperson or a junior developer who'd spend weeks writing that, throwing away working code sounds insane.
Totally insane. Like, if the tests pass, why kill it?
Because the model solved the problem that was written down. Not the actual problem the team had. It did exactly what the prompt asked, but lacked the invisible context of the business reality.
So maybe the team was planning to sunset that entire feature next month, or there was some subtle latency requirement for a client that just wasn't explicitly in the code.
Exactly. That invisible gap between the explicit prompt and the implicit reality, that's where all the friction lives.
And when you multiply that small gap across hundreds of employees and dozens of workflows, you just get pure chaos.
Which brings us to Dan Shipper's essay, After Automation. His core thesis is that AI progress fundamentally creates more work for humans because the judgment load becomes overwhelmingly heavy.
Right, the AI can generate infinite output, but you have to evaluate and take responsibility for every single piece of it.
Shipper argues there are two modes of agent work, and executives are fixated on the wrong one. The first is agent employees.
Like a Slack bot with a cute name or a customer service bot just isolated on a website.
Yeah, digital employees sitting in digital cubicles. That's what leaders picture when they hear AI strategy.
They want it to be a Roomba for data entry, just operating out of sight.
But the second mode is human-agent collaboration. You and the agent share the exact same digital workspace in real time, like in Codex or Cursor.
Sharing the same files, tackling the same problem.
Exactly. And that collaborative mode is where the game-changing leverage is, but organizations underinvest in it because they're obsessed with standalone bots.
So if I'm in that shared workspace, the AI is doing the typing, it's doing the execution. So my job shifts entirely to framing.
Yes.
The best analogy I can think of is imagining the AI as this hyper-competent sous chef. The chef has unbelievable knife skills. They can julienne carrots in 2 seconds flat.
But they have no idea what restaurant they're cooking for.
Right. They don't know the menu. They don't know if table four has a peanut allergy. They just chop whatever you put in front of them with terrifying speed.
Infinite execution speed, but zero situational judgment. If you just say cook, you might get a dish that ruins the whole dinner service.
I can totally see how that applies to coding, but marketing too. An AI can write 50 great emails in 30 seconds, but it doesn't know your competitor launched a similar campaign yesterday.
Or that your brand tone needs to be more empathetic because of a PR crisis. It just types.
But wait, let me push back for a second. When we talk about providing this context, this framing, aren't we really just talking about writing a better prompt?
Oh, that is such an important distinction. A prompt and a frame are absolutely not the same thing.
Okay, what's the difference?
A prompt is just a set of instructions. It's asking a question. But a frame is the explicit shape of the environment. It includes hard constraints, security invariants, risk margins, and non-goals.
Non-goals meaning what we explicitly do not want to do.
Exactly. A frame encapsulates the deep situational judgment that a senior expert usually carries around silently in their head.
It's the invisible guardrails you'd never bother explaining to a 10-year veteran, but the AI needs you to physically build the box for it to play in.
Which is what Kieran Klassen calls the human sandwich. It defines the future of knowledge work. The top slice is the human setting the frame, the constraints, the specs.
And the meat in the middle.
The AI agent instantly collapsing the task, running at light speed against those constraints. Then the bottom slice is the human judging the output, verifying it, and extending it.
Human builds the walls, AI sprints in the middle, human reviews the landing. I love that. But here's where it gets really interesting. If the AI is collapsing that middle part so fast, shouldn't we be working less?
You would think so, right?
Yeah. If execution is effectively free, why is our workload exploding?
To understand that, we have to look at the Jevons paradox. It's this classic economic principle that says when a new technology makes a resource cheaper or more efficient, we don't actually use less of it.
We don't bank the savings.
No, consumption dramatically rises because the resource becomes accessible for entirely new use cases, induced demand.
Oh, this is exactly like adding lanes to a congested highway. You think it'll solve traffic, but it just encourages more people to drive, and suddenly your 10-lane highway is jammed again.
That is the perfect parallel. Apply that to software development. When writing code becomes effectively free, a company doesn't just say, "Great, output stays flat, let's fire half the staff."
Right, the appetite for software explodes. Every manager suddenly brings out their massive backlog of dream projects.
Internal tools, custom dashboards, niche automations, all the stuff that was too expensive to justify before.
So they start tackling deep architectural debt they've ignored for years.
Exactly. The AI commoditizes the execution layer, which instantly creates an overwhelming appetite for human expertise at the layer above to manage it all.
And this cycle of commoditization is shrinking so fast. In the past, things like compilers or Kubernetes took a decade to change the landscape.
You had time to adapt.
Yeah, but now with models, it happens in quarters. The benchmark a model hits in January, it's completely obsolete by July.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it fundamentally rewrites your job description. Your career is no longer about mastering one tech stack and coasting for 10 years.
So what is the job now?
The job is to keep framing faster than the frame collapses. Models constantly climb up and consume the frames you build, so you have to continually build higher, more complex ones.
Okay, so knowing the workload is exploding and the judgment load is heavier, the natural reflex for a leader is to panic and say, "Give everyone a personal AI sidekick right now."
Which is a massive mistake. The author calls it the personal agent trap.
Let's talk about the media company, Evergreen. They are a 30-person team, highly technical, using tools like Codex and Claude.
Right, and they saw the workload exploding, so they gave everyone a personal agent to help them code and write.
And then they had to pull them all back and shut them down, right? Why did that fail?
Because personal agents go stale fast. Individuals just stop maintaining them. An AI agent is software, and software needs rigorous maintenance.
It needs an owner, telemetry, updates.
Exactly. The author has this brilliant warning. If you treat AI agents like Lambda functions you forgot you deployed, they will rot exactly like Lambda functions you forgot you deployed.
Think about your own digital junk drawers for a second. How many times have you spent Sunday setting up a beautiful Notion board or a Zapier automation?
And 3 weeks later, you change one folder name and the whole thing breaks.
Yeah. And you just abandon it because fixing it is too much friction.
So the unit of ownership for an AI agent cannot be the individual. It must be the team or the platform.
Because if my customized coding buddy bot is isolated on my laptop, it becomes a liability when I go on vacation.
This raises an important question about organizational shifts. If an agent matters to the business, someone specific needs to be paged when it breaks.
When it starts making expensive nonsense with confidence. I love that exact phrase from the source.
It's hilarious, but terrifying. It needs a product owner.
So if we can't rely on personal agents and we need team-owned AI, how do we capture that situational judgment so the whole team can use it?
This brings us to Dan Shipper's concept of smuggled intelligence. It's the hidden layer of human expertise deliberately baked into a prompt before the AI even gets to work.
Let's look at the OpenAI GDP eval prompt as an example.
Sure. If you look at that prompt for evaluating financial crime metrics, it's not a simple question. It's a massive wall of constraints.
It dictates statistical confidence levels, tolerable error margins, specific entities to flag, risk weightings.
Exactly. By the time the AI touches the data, a human expert has done the heavy lifting by constructing the boundaries.
The human literally smuggled their years of intelligence into the instructions.
Which leads to what the author calls chart psychosis. It's this trap of obsessively watching public benchmark scores.
Oh, people see an AI score high on a coding benchmark and assume the AI is achieving human intelligence.
But the benchmark is actually measuring the model operating inside the framer's smuggled intelligence. The score reflects the human framer just as much as the model.
That makes total sense. Take away the frame and the model collapses and hallucinates. So we need a systemic way to capture this smuggled intelligence.
Yes, and the solution is the context spine.
What is that, practically speaking?
It's a versioned markdown specification file. It lives permanently in the root directory of your project repository.
Okay, so it travels alongside the work through every update and every agent run.
Right. It makes the smuggled intelligence permanent and legible to both humans and machines.
It's like the DNA of a project. If the code is the cells, the context spine is the DNA traveling with them, instructing the AI on how to behave safely.
So wait, are we saying the real valuable IP of a company is no longer the code, but the markdown file that tells the AI how to write the code?
That is absolutely correct. Spec-driven multi-agent development isn't just a preference. It's the only way to make framing scale safely to hundreds of agents. But the moment you mention versioning and managing IP, enterprise leaders are going to panic and introduce massive bureaucracy.
And we don't want a 47-page governance process or a depressing SharePoint site.
The ultimate corporate buzzkill. How do we govern frames without killing the speed AI gives us?
The goal is governance without ceremony, through automated guardrails. You embed evaluation harnesses directly into your CI/CD pipelines.
For non-engineers, a CI/CD pipeline is basically an automated conveyor belt for new work.
Think of it as a factory QA line. When a context spine is updated, it automatically runs against deterministic regression tests.
An automated obstacle course.
Right. The pipeline is the ruthless gatekeeper. It verifies the AI is operating safely before touching production. If it breaks a rule, the belt stops. No human review board needed.
But we don't need that heavy ceremony for everything, right? If I just want to summarize an email.
Exactly. Differentiating when ceremony is needed is key. Asking an AI, what does this awk command do, needs zero ceremony. It's just a text search tool.
Let people use it freely for that.
But if an agent touches the customer experience, security, or data movement, the frame must be verifiable. If you can't verify the frame, you don't have an AI strategy. You just have vibes with a diff.
Vibes with a diff. Just hoping the code changes don't bring down the company. So what does this all mean? Because I can hear managers groaning, I don't have the budget for an AI engineering department to babysit agents. Is this necessary?
They need to realize they're already paying the cost in hidden rework and systemic risk. Retiring the personal agent fantasy and focusing on systemic workflows actually protects the investment.
Pay for the infrastructure up front or pay for the chaos on the back end.
Invest in framers, not finishers. Treat agents as platform infrastructure and measure throughput per framer, factoring in quality and hidden rework.
So to wrap this up, The AI is not the bottleneck anymore. Your frame is. You need to move from being a finisher to a framer, embrace that human sandwich, and build a durable context spine.
To really drive this home, the article closes with a great story. A man writes down where he puts his clothes at night. Cap on the hook, pants on the chair, shoes by the door.
Okay.
In the morning, he finds his cap, his pants, his shoes. But then he looks at the list and asks, where am I myself?
Wow.
The models will find your cap and pants. They'll automate the legible parts of your work.
Right.
But the part of you that decides what matters today, that situational judgment is the only thing the frame depends on.
That situational judgment is the where am I myself, which leaves me with a final provocative thought for you to ponder. If all the execution is handed off to AI and human value is entirely in framing, how do we train the next generation of juniors?
Right, because traditionally they gained that judgment by executing the grunt work.
Exactly. They learn the constraints by bumping into them while finishing. If the grunt work is gone, how do you ever become a senior framer?
It's the existential question for the next decade, and we honestly don't have the answer yet.
We really don't. So until we figure that out, Keep your hammock packed away because the real work is just getting started. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.